And today, our message is going to be on the subject of encouragement. Encouragement. Now, I looked that up in the dictionary this week, and here's what it says. I'll read this to you. Encouragement is an action, so make a mental note. It's something you have to do. It's an action of giving support, affirmation, recognition, and hope to someone else. It literally means to inspire a person with courage. So I want to ask you, has that happened to you in the last week or two, where somebody has encouraged you in something that you're doing or that you have done? Earlier in the week, I flew to Florida. And as I got on board the plane, it was kind of a fun experience because I fly regularly, but I have not flown in the past 3 months. So when I got on board the airplane and went to sit down, there was a nice card on my seat, and it was handwritten by one of the people on the plane, one of the workers, a stewardess, who just reminded me of the fact that I had been missed on their airline. She recognized some of the things that they have on file about me. It's nice to know that they know something about you, some of my likes, and just encouraged me to keep flying when it was possible. So that was really nice. That's a rarity when you get onto a plane and somebody actually knows your name and they recognize you and they know some things about you. And then she came by and welcomed me personally a little bit later. Then yesterday in the mail, I received a card, an encouragement card from a longtime friend and a person who's attended Grace, I believe, from our very first Sunday. That's over 26 years, just encouraging me as a pastor and telling me to keep with it and that this person and their family was behind me. So what I want you to think about doing this week is offering encouragement to somebody, whether you write a card or you verbally tell them. You could text it, you could do a Facebook message, whatever. But to really encourage the person in what they're doing, also sharing with them the fact that you recognize them, that you affirm them as a person. And that will be really meaningful if we as a church would do that. That's our theme for the day, is the subject of encouragement. So think right now, who could you encourage? And what form would that encouragement take? We all enjoy receiving it. And this week, I want us to take great joy in encouraging in that action on behalf of other people. All right? I want you to pray with me, and then I'll introduce our speaker for the day. Father, we are grateful for the people that are listening today and those that will tune in later. We're grateful that we have a chance to share your word here in this country, talk freely about you, and be able to learn from your word things that you want us as your children to practice and how you want us to live and the kind of people that you want us to be. All throughout the Bible, you are an encouraging father to us, and you want us to turn around and use that gift, use that skill, and encourage those that we encounter, both in the church and in the community. So, Father, we're grateful today. May you use your word to touch our hearts and open our minds, and then lead us into action. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, one of our elders here at the church, a man by the name of Ryan Hickey, is going to be speaking to us. Ryan is the director of technology and facilities here at Grace Church. In addition, he leads our youth ministry. Ryan has been with us here at Grace for many, many years. He's a dear friend, and he's a very faithful worker. And he wants to encourage you from the scriptures using the life of a man who's known as the son of encouragement, a guy by the name of Barnabas. So here's Ryan Hickey. I hope you enjoy the message. And send him a little note afterwards. Just let him know you appreciated his speaking today. All right, Ryan?
Good morning. We are currently in our summer series entitled Journey with the Faithful. Over the next few months, we're going to be looking at the lives of a number of men and women in the Bible. Each of them were called by God. Each of them chose to get up and go. To go from here to there is kind of the term we've been using, and we're going to continue to use this whole summer, is just helping us to kind of wrap our mind around the whole idea of how do we take the steps needed to get through obstacles that God has placed in our lives, and then also to cross those bridges where God has asked us to go from here to there. So as you can see behind me, we are using a bridge to convey that idea of crossing over, taking one step at a time to get from here to there. So just remember, as we continue through this, as I said, our journey with the faithful, that God saved us to have a relationship with us. He's given each of us gifts and abilities that we can use to accomplish His will. God has given each of us a mission and a purpose for our life. So today, as we talk about Barnabas, kind of have that in the back of your mind of God has given Barnabas a mission for his life. What did Barnabas do with his gifts and abilities? So here we go. So today we're going to be looking at Acts 11, 22 through 24. And I'm going to be reading from the NASB translation. So yours may be just a slight bit different if you're using a different translation. So here's our verse for today. Again, Acts 11, 22 through 24. Verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Verse 23, then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. So let me first give you a little brief history of what's going on time-wise before our text here. So if you remember Stephen in the Bible, so he was being persecuted in Jerusalem. Because of that persecution, a lot of men and women began leaving Jerusalem and going to places where they felt it was safer. So here what we're seeing is many people were scattered about, and when it says, we talked about Antioch, so many men went to Antioch and started sharing their faith there. So during this time, many of the Jewish people still were under the assumption that Jesus was only for them. The Messiah was only for the Jewish nation, okay? So when some of these men, because of the persecution, went to Antioch, they began sharing their faith with what we would say Gentile people, people that are not Jewish. So when we talk about sharing our faith with Gentiles, the Jewish church, the church in Jerusalem, a lot of those people are like, what? You know, what are you doing? You're sharing Jesus with people outside of the Jewish nation. So to them, it was, you know, it's kind of hard to get their mind wrapped around, what are you guys thinking? But what we know here is that God was in this, and I'll show you right in God's word here in a little bit of what was God's role in leading these people to Antioch. So we know there's guys in Antioch sharing their faith. So as we move through that, and then Antioch, let me tell you just a little bit about that. So you'll see a map come up here in just a little bit. And Antioch itself is located about 300 miles north of Jerusalem, and then it's about 20 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. I'm hoping you can find that on your map. And then you'll also notice to the left of Antioch, you'll see an island, Cyprus. So we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. So you may just try to picture this in your mind, pick out where Jerusalem is, see Antioch, and then see Cyprus. So going back to Antioch. It was at the time, it was under Roman control. Okay, it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And then what they were known for was business, commerce, sophistication, immorality. Some would have said at the time that they were so corrupt that they polluted Rome, which was almost 1,300 miles away. So you have to think, how polluted, how corrupt would you have to be to affect a city that is 1,300 miles away? So that's kind of what was going on in Antioch at the time. It was also, because of where it was located, it was a crossroads for trade, for travel. So you got to think, with a population of around 500,000 people, it was a melting pot, we would say, of different people. So because they are a nation ruled by the Romans, they would be mainly, at that time, there was a lot of Greek-speaking people there. So when we start talking about Barnabas, be thinking along the lines of what Antioch entailed, the number of different ethnic groups, and then mainly Greek-speaking people. So when we talk about people sharing their faith there, again, it's going out, stepping out of their comfort zone, sharing their faith to a group of people that may not only have spoken a different language than them, but also, if they're very corrupt, they think very differently. So if you look at verse 21, just before our text today, you will see that it clearly says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So this group of people, small group that were scattered, went to a very corrupt city. God's blessing was on them as they shared their faith. God broke down the hearts of these Gentile people, and probably other Jews that were living there at the time also. But we have to remember, because of God, because of what he was doing in their lives, he allowed them to share their faith, step out of their comfort zone, and in turn, many, many people were being impacted. So that's kind of just a brief history of what was going on before our text. So now as we come to our text, verse 22, if you remember what it said, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. So we have to ask ourselves, what news? Okay, why were they even concerned with what was going on in Antioch at the time? So the news was, hey, our people that have scattered are beginning to share their faith with Gentiles, and there are a large number of them coming to faith. What is going on? So kind of picture in Jerusalem, they're thinking, wow, why are they sharing their faith with these Gentile people? So if you think of MSU fans, Michigan fans over in Ann Arbor, if I said to an MSU fan, hey, I want you to put on your maize and blue apparel, because you probably don't own any, so you're going to have to go get some. I want you to head over to Ann Arbor. I want you to be right down front during the next football game, and I want you encouraging and cheering on all the Michigan fans. So for an MSU fan, that would probably be, they would rather go somewhere and not do anything than go there and have to cheer on Michigan fans. So same type of feeling here. Why are our people sharing their faith with Gentiles? So that's kind of the news that they're receiving. So they're thinking, wow, we need to go check this out, okay? See what's going on. Also, because of their belief in their faith, We got to think that they're thinking, all right, if these are new converts, what do we do with new converts? And they've, if they're following the Great Commission, they're saying, well, these are brand new disciples. We were commanded to instruct them, okay, teach them to obey, baptize them. So they're thinking, not only do we need to go check this out, we better head over there. And if we have a bunch of new converts, baby Christians, they need to be fed just like a human baby. When you think of a baby that was just born, they need food. They need, eventually as they grow, they need to learn how to walk, how to talk, how to clean up after themselves. So it's the exact same thing when we think of working with baby Christians, okay? We need to teach them how to talk as a Christian, how to walk as a Christian, how to feed themselves using God's word, okay? How to clean up after themselves when they make a mistake, when they sin. How do they make that right with God? How are they forgiven? How do they restore relationships with other people? So those are all the types of things that need to be taught to these new converts. So that's why the news affected them. So then secondly, it says, and they sent Barnabas off. Okay, so then we have to ask ourselves, why Barnabas? So looking back, and you don't have to turn here right now, but if we were looking at Acts 4, 36 through 37, it says about Barnabas. Says he was a Levite. So if you know anything about the Levi, the tribe of Levi, they were the Jewish priests. Okay, so he was a Jewish priest of Cyprian birth. So he was from the island of Cyprus. And then it, because he was from that island, his native language would have been Greek. And then what we know of Barnabas is that his real name was Joseph. The apostles gave him the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So if you think of nicknames, or in the Bible, many times God changed someone's name because of their characteristics, okay? So here, if Barnabas, if his name was changed from Joseph to Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, we have to think he was a great encourager to people, okay? That was a characteristic that stood out in his life, all right? So it says they sent him there. So now we know if he was born on the island of Cyprus, he already spoke Greek, just like the people in Antioch. We know that the culture, because Antioch was Roman controlled, Cyprus was also Roman controlled. So the culture could have been very close in the time. So then you have to also remember, so if you're sending someone into that culture, you're probably going to want some send someone that can speak their language, understand what they're saying, understand how they live, their culture. And so when we look at it from that aspect, Barnabas was a great choice. Then we also know at the end of that same two verses in Acts 4, 36 through 37, tells us that Barnabas bought land. He sold the land that he owned, he sold, and he brought the money before the apostles, laid it at their feet, and wanted to help them out in their ministry. So when you just think of the idea of selling something and giving that money to help, we would automatically assume that Barnabas must have been a generous man, a humble man, when it says he laid it before the apostles' feet. We know that he wanted to not only please them, but he was thinking of God, okay, the bigger picture. He wanted to do something for God's kingdom. So he said, I'm willing to sacrifice this extra money that I have because I've sold this land to put it towards God's kingdom. So there's a couple things we know about Barnabas. Now a third thing, this is in Acts 9, 26 through 28, a couple other verses. It says that Barnabas showed warm acceptance of Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. So if you remember that story, Saul was persecuting Christians. God came to him on his way to Damascus. And he's, from that point on, Paul had completely changed. God transformed his life. Paul was now speaking about what God was doing in his life. He was sharing Jesus with people. So Barnabas basically went and got him and said to the apostles, hey, this guy is a genuine conversion to Jesus. Okay, because the apostles, you got to think, they, if he was persecuting people earlier, they're probably just a little leery. They're thinking, I don't know if I can trust this guy. Is he just doing this to get closer to us? And then he's going to turn on us? So it was hard for the apostles and maybe other Jewish people to think about the whole fact that God had truly transformed Saul's life. And he was a new man, and God has changed his name to Paul. So when you think about that, think about in your own life, is there somebody or some time where someone stood up for you, defended you when other people, and it could be to your friends, say you were just starting to learn about Jesus, and you wanted to start changing and start living for Jesus, and maybe you had come to the point where God was really working on your heart, and you said, Lord, I want to put my faith and trust in you. I want to give my life to you, and your life is starting to change. You're starting to think differently, not wanting to do the things you used to do. You're turning from that sin in your life, and maybe you had really long-time friends that are like, is this just a little gimmick that you're playing to kind of look good to God, or is this a real thing? Maybe they didn't believe that you, because of your past, they were saying, there's just no way. I just can't believe that you would walk away from basically this sinful nature that we all have and want to start living for Jesus. So think about in your own life, are there people that have defended you, have stood up for you, or maybe they, as a new Christian, they just came alongside you and they were that encouragement to say, hey, times are tough when you're a Christian. It's not all fun and games and just kind of sitting in the lazy boy and everything's wonderful. No, you're going to be tested. God's going to allow trials into your life. And so we all need that little bit of encouragement. So if you can think of someone that has done that for you, same thing as what Barnabas is doing for Paul, okay? He's right there, giving him kind of that, we would say, that little kick in the rear to, come on, let's go. Don't let down now, okay? So thinking there's just two or three things that we know about Barnabas. So when we say, why Barnabas? Why did they send Barnabas? Okay? How we would best say it is that he was the best man for the job, okay? He had the character, he had the qualities and the gifts that God had given him. And the church at Jerusalem at the time saw that, okay? So they sent him. Now, we don't hear Barnabas complaining. So if you remember one example where Jonah was asked by God to get up and go, okay? He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And if you remember about Nineveh, how corrupt they were, same type of thing, right? Jonah's like, I'm going to do whatever I can not to go there. Okay, so but when we look at Barnabas, we don't see any of that, okay? We see him, he hears that he's being sent, he's like, all right, looking at the bridge, the whole idea of the bridge, he's saying, here's that bridge I got to cross, God is going to provide what I need, the resources, the wisdom, the knowledge, whatever it is, for me to cross that bridge, to take those baby steps, to go to Antioch, this very corrupt city, and find out what's going on. Why, is this really,
truly people being converted to Christ. And then if it is, he wants me to encourage them, build into them. So here's three lessons that I want us to look at today. I wanted to share these with you, all about Barnabas's faith. So number one, let's say faith goes, okay? So what I mean by that, we'll look at in our text, Acts 11:22 again, it said that he was sent, okay? So what it means is when the church in Jerusalem heard about all those coming to the Lord in Antioch, they sent Barnabas as their representative to check it out, okay? So again, think of the talk in Jerusalem. Same type of thing when I said, asking an MSU fan to go over to Ann Arbor and lead the fans in singing the fight song in Ann Arbor, okay? Same type of thing. The people are probably like, did you hear about so-and-so? That's a Michigan State fan. Did you hear what he did last weekend? He went over to Ann Arbor, okay? He cheered them on. He had all the blue and maize outfits. He had, you know, he looked just like a Wolverine. Can you believe that? That he would do that? He should have been. He was a Spartan. I can't believe it. So, same type of thing going on in Jerusalem, right? They're like, I can't believe this is going on, but Barnabas went, okay? No complaining. Step by step, goes to Antioch, says that he went to serve, okay? He did not go there out of his own, his own mind, just thinking, I just want to go and kind of look at a distance from what's going on. He went with the mindset that I'm going to go there, use the gifts and abilities God has given me, and serve and encourage these people. So when we talk about faith goes, look at your own life. You know, deep down, has God asked you to do something? Has he given you a bridge to cross? Has he said, I would like you to go from here to there? And there's lots of obstacles in the way. So you got to look at your own life and say, first off, am I even making myself available to God? Is he even asking me to do anything? Because maybe I'm so caught up in everything that I'm doing, my wants, my desires, I'm not even thinking about allowing God to speak into my life. Okay, so you got to look at yourself there. You got to be thinking, am I available? Am I willing? Do I trust God enough when he asks me to do something to go? Do I have enough faith in him to say, God, I'm going and I know you will provide everything that I need for this journey that you're asking me to go on? So number one was faith goes. Number two, faith gives. Here we see this in our text in verse 23. Okay, it says, then when he, Barnabas, arrived and witnessed the grace of God. So it just tells us he witnessed the grace of God. So was it in their work, the way they acted, the way they responded to other people? He saw a group of persecuted people go there into a corrupt city and share God with them, and he was seeing God transform these people's lives. Okay, so what did he do? Instead of saying, oh, these people that I don't know if we should have been sharing our faith with, these Gentiles, I'm going to go back and tell everybody in Jerusalem that it looks like their lives are changed. That's not what he did. It says he was glad. He rejoiced. Okay, he's just excited, and it says right away he began to encourage them. So you got to think, like I said earlier, in our own life, we have, as new Christians, we have trials, We have temptations that are going to come into our life. So Barnabas, when it says he encouraged them, he's stepping up to the plate and he's right there, okay, right beside them, helping them along, because we all know as we try to make an impact, as we allow God to use us, the world is going to tempt us. Our friends, our family may say, "What are you doing? I don't get this, you know. Come on. Nobody will know. You can come do these few things that we used to do. Nobody will know." Barnabas is right there, though. He's saying, "Hey, stay strong, okay? Know that God is with you. You know that your flesh, your own sinful nature, is going to constantly be telling you, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You can just tell these little lies or steal a few things. Nobody will know, okay?" So we have to be thinking. Barnabas, he knows this. He's right there, okay? Now he knows that Satan is not happy with people coming to Christ, new believers. He has been doing what he's done for thousands of years, and he's very good at being deceitful, okay? So he can start getting in your mind, helping you to doubt, wanting you to just think that what's happening in my life, this transformation, help, where God is helping me to think differently, to want to change my attitude, to love him, love people. Satan wants to deceive you that that's not real. So Barnabas, because he trusted God, he knew God would give him the wisdom and the knowledge to instruct these people and to teach these people, he said, "Hey, I want to give. There's lots of ways you can give." He not only was giving encouragement, okay, but he was also giving them the tools, we would say, of how to spend time with God. He could have been teaching them how to pray. He could have been showing them God's word and saying, "Here is how you read this and how you understand it and how you pray through scripture." So there's just so many tools he could have been teaching them at the time. So we, again, when we talk about faith gives, we got to take that hard look at our own life and say, what do I do with my time? What do I do with my talents? What do I do with my treasures? Right there, Pastor Don mentions that over and over and over again, those three things. And if you really take a hard look at your life, that tells a lot about who we are, what we do with our time, talents, and treasures. Do we give of those gifts to other people? Okay, do we give our time? Do we give those gifts of our talents and our abilities that God has given us? Do we give those to build his kingdom? What do we do with our treasures? Are we using our treasures to build God's kingdom? Okay, we have to, just like Barnabas, have that faith that what we give, God will use, and he will use us if we're willing and able. Okay, so we have number one, faith goes. Number two, faith gives. The third lesson is faith produces goodness. So where we see that is in verse 24 of our text. It says, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So when we talk about a good man, we hear that a lot. Okay, what does that even mean? In today's society, it almost becomes meaningless because it's so broad. We hear all the time, he's a good man, she's a good woman. What are we basing that on? You know, are we basing that on the world standards? Are we basing that on I saw on TV that if you use whatever, Flex Seal, you are a great man. that doesn't mean squat in God's eyes, okay? And we have to look at the Bible. What is goodness? So what we know is goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you remember, fruits of the Spirit are all produced by God, completely by God. Nothing we do is considered good. Jesus himself said that, okay? Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. So when we look at what is good, what is goodness, we have to look at it in a comparison to what God says is good. So when we say he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, basically he was a good man because he was full of the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? So you have to think. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you permanently, okay? Lives within you, seals you, guarantees you of your salvation. But temporarily, there's what we call filling of the Holy Spirit, okay? Where you have to ask daily, minute by minute, God, I am available. Use me. Fill me. It's a temporary filling where the Holy Spirit, it's all about how much you allow him to use your empty vessel, yourself. Okay? So he's in there. Holy Spirit's right there because you're a Christian. But now, how much are you allowing the Holy Spirit to use your life? Okay? If you say you were thinking, God, I want you to use me today to talk to one of my friends about your son, Jesus. Now, if you think about that, how much are you actually allowing God to use when you do that? Is that 1% of you? 10% of you? Okay, what it says here is Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. So what that means is he was allowing God to use 100% of him. Okay, he's saying, God, here I am. I am an empty vessel. Use me. I am totally focused on you. I am listening. And then, most importantly, I am obeying. Okay, when you're giving me something to do, I don't argue. I don't complain. I take that step. Say, okay, God, help me cross this bridge. Help me take these steps, okay? So when it says he was full of the Holy Spirit, it's basically saying he is 100% walking in faith, trusting that God will give him every single thing he needs to accomplish God's will and mission for his life, okay? So again, you got to look at your own life and say, I'm a Christian. The Holy Spirit's in me, indwelled in me permanently. Now, and here's the gut check, how much am I allowing God to use my life? And I know in my life it's hard, okay? Each of us, we want to give just enough to maybe feel good. Oh, okay, I served for 15 minutes, half hour, hour there. I did my part for the week, okay? Now think how many hours there are in a day in a week. Did I give 100% of everything I have for God to use? And that's the hard part, because God can use us in our workplace, so we can't use that as an excuse and say, well, at work, I have to be totally focused. Well, sure, we have to be focused on our job, but there are times we can constantly be in connection with God through prayer and say, God, use me at my workplace. Give me opportunities to share my faith. Help me to have a great attitude at work. There's just a lot of things that we just kind of neglect. We don't think that God can use us in that area in our life. But what we have to realize is God wants to use 100% of us all the time. And we have to look at our life and say, am I allowing God to do that in my life? So here's the challenge. You have to think of, what type of legacy do you want to leave in your life? Would God say about you, that person was a good man or woman, that person was full of goodness, That person was full of my Holy Spirit, trusting 100% in me. So that's tough, but we have to ask those questions to ourselves and say, who or what is my faith in today? Okay, am I living up to being a Barnabas in someone's life? Okay, so just a quick review. Faith goes, so as we go, are we sharing our faith? Faith gives. Are we giving of our gifts and abilities, times, talents, and treasures to God? Or are we just living for ourselves? And then faith produces goodness. So for God to work in our life and use us, we have got to give Him 100% of ourselves. And that's the challenge this week. Start praying about. So saying, God, help me to see the areas in my life that I am not allowing you to use. All right. So I'm going to close in prayer here. And then we'll move back to some music. Father, as we looked at Barnabas today and just learned some of the lessons from his faith, I just ask that you help us to look at our own lives today, Lord, and just say, Lord, where am I lacking? What is it that I'm just pouring myself into that is not in your will, Lord? What are the things that I need to change? What are the things that I need to be aware of? And then once you do let me know, Lord, what are those things? Help me, encourage me to make those changes. Be obedient. Start walking in faith and start trusting that you are going to give me all the resources, all of that bridge that I need to get over that obstacle, or you're going to give me everything that I need to take that next step, to trust that each little baby step, I am moving closer and closer to accomplishing that will and purpose for my life. Lord, I just thank you for what you are doing in and through each of us. And I just pray that each of us can become a Barnabas to somebody out there. Amen.